History is incredible and instructive if you know it is story. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is Key Life, a program designed to tell Christians that God isn't mad at them. Bible teaching to help get you home. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope your time of worship was as incredible as my time of worship. And I hope your pastor's sermon was as instructive and helpful and feeding as was my pastor's sermon. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Obadiah. And if you're a Presbyterian, you're going to have trouble finding it, to be perfectly honest with you. It's only about 22, 23 verses, and we're going to spend a week or two on a very short sermon by my friend Obadiah. But you can, if you're the flipper type, where you flip through the Old Testament hoping you'll come up on the book and people won't know, you don't know where it is, it ain't going to work with this book, man. I mean, it's gone before you see it. Now, if you're looking for Isaiah or Psalms or Jeremiah, that's no problem. Just flip away and everybody will think you know where they are. But Obadiah is a little tiny book, and we're going to talk about it this week and probably next week on Key Life. Before we turn to the book, it's our practice on Mondays to go before the throne, so let's do that. Father, we're glad for another week. We can look at the memorials in our lives, the rocks we put up in the Jordan when you were faithful, when things turned out all right, when we saw your hand in every aspect of our lives. We can look back, Father, and look at the memorial rocks that you have told us to build, and we can look into the future and know that you'll still be there, that you'll be faithful as you've always been, that there will be no circumstance that doesn't first pass through a nail-scarred hand, that you're good, and that you're good all the time. We praise you and we worship you for your kindness, your goodness toward us. But, Father, we worship you also because you're God, and you're the only one worthy of our worship. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast, we go through stuff that's hard sometimes. The wounds are deep. The fears sometimes get to us, the panic attacks in the middle of the night, the times when we don't know what to say and we don't know what to do. We're not sure where to go. Father, we're here because you're where we should go. You're sufficient for every need, even when it doesn't feel like it. You're in charge, even when we doubt it. You're God, even when we wonder. And so meet us at the point of our needs as you define them. Draw us to yourself and keep us walking in your ways until we get home. And then, Father, we pray for this week of broadcast. We pray for the one who teaches. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you were listening last week when we began the book of Obadiah, verses 1 through 21, that's it. That's the entire book. I gave you some helpful hints and some handles, some exegetical notes whereby you might understand Obadiah, and then again, you might not. We saw that in the English Bible, there are three sections, historical books, poetical books, and the prophetic books. The prophetic books are divided into two sections called major and minor prophets. Obadiah is one of the minor prophets. And then I gave you a whole bunch of stuff about which we know nothing. We don't have any idea who Obadiah was. There are dozens of Obadiahs in the Old Testament. None of them refer to this prophet. We don't know his heritage. We don't know his daddy's name. We don't know where he came from. We don't know where he lived. We don't know his occupation. And we don't know when he died. How's that for real help in understanding this book? Now, we can guess the historical setting of the book of Obadiah, but the fact is we don't have the foggiest idea. We do know that Obadiah means servant of the Lord. Now, the central theme of this book, and by the way, if you've got to have a date, you maybe can put it at 587 B.C. but put a question mark after that. There's a mild consensus among scholars that it was probably written around the fall of Jerusalem, and there's some controversy about that, but who knows? That's the reference to the Edomites, and that's what this book is about as we deal with the Edomites. If you're looking for an outline, this is about as complete as you can get. Verse 1, the introduction. That's not very creative. Verses 2 through 14, Edom's judgment. Verses 14 through 21, Judah's restoration. I made a comment last week when we talked about God's unknown servant. We don't know anything about Obadiah. There is no ego involved in this. We don't know how many books he read, how many degrees he had, how many schools he attended. We don't know the number of people who were saved because of his preaching, the people who were healed because of his faithfulness. We know his name, Obadiah. There are a lot of people in the kingdom who are like that. You may or may not know their name, but you don't know anything else about them, and they make a major, big-time difference. Those are the people who are going to have the castles in the kingdom. And those of us who have our names known, who do great things for God and want everybody to know it, we're going to get there, but it's going to be little tiny shacks over in the corner, and we're going to be thankful to have those. And then last week, and I'm going to do this again, we went over the historical setting because that's what this book is about. We saw it started with Abraham, that he had two sons. One was Ishmael by Hagar, who was to become the father of the Arabs. The other son by Sarah, who was the beloved Isaac. Now, Isaac had two sons, Jacob, Israel, and Esau. Now, Esau, and this will give you a hint, is another name for Edom. Esau was the founder of the Edomites, about whom the book of Obadiah was written. Some 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, an incident took place between Esau and Jacob that literally had repercussions to the present day, not 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, but a lot of years, maybe 1,500, 1,200 years before the birth of Christ. This incident took place, and we're feeling the repercussions of it even to today. Rebecca was pregnant, and she knew she had two twins. Well, if they're twins, they're two. Listen, I'm an old guy. I'm doing the best I can. And she knew that even in her womb, those twins were not happy in that kind of proximity to one another. She went before the Lord, and the Lord gave her a prophecy. That's Genesis 25. Stay with me. Genesis 25, 23, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples are born to you, and they shall be divided. The one will be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger. Now, we don't have time to go into the conflict, but if you want to read a little bit about it, go to Genesis, the 25th chapter. There was a con game going on, and one son got it over the other. That was the beginning. It got worse. And then I'd love to spend some time going into this entire story, but it's not relevant completely to the book of Obadiah. But when it came time for Isaac to bless his firstborn, Esau, Rebekah got together with her favorite son, her boy, her big-time, wonderful son, whom she loved more than the other, Jacob, and tricked Isaac into blessing Jacob instead of Esau. Thus the nation of Israel came into existence. Jacob was the father of the sons who were to become the 12 tribes of Israel, and it happened because of a lie, because of trickery, because of deception that would make a gangster proud. Must be said that Esau and Jacob did get together at the funeral of their daddy, and prior to that, Jacob made some historic efforts to reconcile himself to Esau and to make up for his past sins. Maybe there was some reconciliation, but frankly, the bitterness continued. A great nation, Edom, came from the loins of Esau, and a great nation, Israel, came from the loins of Jacob. In the next incident, I know this sounds boring, but stay with me. in the story of these two nations occurs when Moses, some 500 years later, begins to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. The descendants of Esau, Edom, had settled in the land directly to the south of the Dead Sea in the mountains, the hill country of Seir. And the problem with Moses was that he wanted to lead his people into the promised land across the land of the Edomites. But you know what happened. The Edomites said, "It will be cold in a hot place before you cross our land." Started with victory. It ended with very great pain. Now tomorrow we're going to look at some more history, and I'm going to show you how it affects even us today. But for right now, you got to be careful when you fight, because the fights are like pebbles in a pond. They're ripples of pain and wounds and fear and hurt and killing and devastation. That's why it's so important that you be faithful in the little things of your life so that God can work from those a monument to His glory. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape / CD family, we'd love for you to be a part of it. Give us a call. Call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. Write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your mailing address. Ask to be a part of the Key Life Tape / CD family. Specify which format you want, and you start getting one every 7 or 8 weeks automatically. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible generally at the chapel at Reformed Theological Seminary, where I teach. And we send those to our family, and they keep coming as long as we want them, and they are free. But listen, if you could help us financially, you help so many others. Please think about it and pray about it. See if God asks you to do it, and then be as generous as you can. You can charge it on MasterCard, Visa, Discover Card. Include a contribution in your envelope, and you'll touch so many other lives. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation. Hey, I gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.